Okie doke, welcome one and all to this evening's Naked Football Show. In the studio we welcome back Studio Trust, or even Supporters Trust, committee member Alistair Ross.
Nice to be back.
Nice to have you, Alistair. Our naked virgin tonight was supposed to be Sam Morta, but he had to pull out at the last minute, so he's been replaced by our substitute town fan, Nick Cabay.
Hey, how you doing?
And finally, of course, we welcome those with the day's Phil Ham.
Hello.
We'll obviously discuss last Saturday's highly entertaining game against Charlton. We'll look forward to our trip to Sunny Scunny, and we'll continue to ponder loan signings. So, usual rules apply. Email in with your thoughts and ideas to studio@icrfm.co.uk, or you can text us on 07973851968. Alistair, you've not been on for a while. Do you want to do the Charlton bit?
Yeah, I thought it was a good game. I thought they played football, which made it easier for us. Ambrose looked quite good, and I think it's maybe the tail of the season, really. It's been injuries and silly suspensions, because Cito looked the difference. Made a lot of difference going forward, and actually defensively, which he has improved on. Coming back in the side gave us a bit more of an out down that way, and I thought we played well. The goals, well, we took the second one well, the first one I'll leave to your imagination. I think we dominated matching more the first half than we were made out in the papers. They probably did have the best chance other than that, which was the header. And I thought also Bywater had a good game, especially after the Barnsley fiasco, yeah, and he looked fairly confident. I think that's the thing about him. People don't like him for he is quite a confident bloke, and he did seem to bounce back from Tuesday and played quite well. And Bruce, you know, is not a fullback and never will be, but as a centre back, he's fairly good, you know. So that, it was good to see. Whether he was Jim's hand was forced slightly, but it looked good. Just a pity about these injuries, Norris. I mean, how injured was Norris when he came to us? I'd be interested to know, of all these great medicals they have nowadays. But it's a pity about that. And obviously Shefki being shot by someone from the North Stand. A sniper is being it looked like something out of Dallas in the early 60s.
Yeah, well, I think there's maybe one or two candidates in the message board that people could suggest. I thought we played quite well, and we always do play better against teams that play proper football rather than hoik the ball up to great big as centre forwards. We did generally quite well, but I thought Charlton just were a bit kind of, they could pass the ball around quite nicely, but they couldn't create too many chances. I mean, other than the header of Halford hit the bar, I think there was a chance when Lita turned the ball straight at Bywater, but they didn't really create anything.
And I think
today
in Halford, they've got the for anyone who's playing football on Sunday in the licensed Trader League, there is hope for you yet, because Greg Halford has played for two Premiership clubs, even though a few minutes at each, Sunderland and Reading, and he absolutely looked one of the worst footballers I've ever. He can throw the ball, but I didn't think we do much of our hands in football, and he just spent most of the time running 50 metres across the pitch to try and kick lead. He was absolutely, whether it's just a Colchester thing, he was abysmal. He was absolutely terrible, and that people have actually made money out of that player selling him is absolutely amazing. It's
Nick,
terrible.
Did you
I can't really comment too much on this game, so I didn't get to see this one, but a couple of interesting points. Firstly, talking about Alex Bruce, whenever I've seen him play, he's looked very solid as a defender. He's the sort of guy who can put his foot on the ball, he won't just hoik it out of the fence, he'll think about it. Every time I see Dan Harding get the ball, I think, what on earth are you going to do with the ball? He doesn't look too sure himself. Bruce looks a different kettle of fish. He looks like the sort of guy who'll think about it, he'll play it safely out of defence, he looks steady. Also, there was a parallel drawn in the newspaper, another Shefty Coochie debut, another, was it a cross, was it a goal?
I saw that, but I mean, I remember that goal that Jim Magilton, the Shefty Coochie's other debut, Jim Magilton scored away at Watford,
that's the one.
That wasn't a cross, though. I mean, I thought that was a very deliberate chip into the far corner.
Well, I think
Elvin has misremembered that.
I think that was, Jim didn't score many, and I think that was a proper.
I think that was a goal.
Not going to get into a mix of either way. Owen Garvin, likewise.
So someone in the Britannia stand reckon that flicked off the top of Matt Holland's head.
I think from what Garvin said, it was he just hit it. It was either a very bad.
I thought he just looked up, and he said, I think he looked up and he couldn't see any obvious options. I mean, I think he just belted it across in the
Someone would go on the far post. I think it was a poor cross, and he done well. But I think we deserved to get a goal from our play earlier in the game.
And we deserved a penalty.
And I also thought Again, you look at the times, the ratings of the players, Shuey or Sumo, whatever you want to call him, got a fairly low rating, but I think the amount of work he did, and he didn't miss a header, which we've actually missed really. Defensive midfield player couldn't head it since Lewandowski sort of disappeared to France, wherever he's gone. He didn't miss a header, which allowed Garvin to roam round and do what he wanted, because he'd done a lot of work, especially once when we had to bring Haynes on. Really, and Quinn, who I've been impressed with, but he's not a great tackler, so he got one out of the four defending, and he did quite well. He forced Holland to have to sit right back, and Ambrose was playing almost as a wide, very wide player in the end, wasn't he? And I thought, but I think Charlton are a bit, they've got some good players, they haven't really got the right balance in their team. And I mean, Leiter's come in, but the young lad they brought on is the one who's been scoring the goals. So yeah, I'm not that impressed with Charlton, and I think they'll struggle to make the top two now, definitely. I think they might even struggle to make the top six. I think myself, five of the six teams now are already in their playoff. I think there's one.
Oh, go on. Go on. Give us your top.
Stoke, Bristol City, West Brom, Watford, and I think after last night, Hull City.
Yeah.
I think that last game of the season could be, if they do. I mean, some teams could have a bad run, some team could have a good run, but I think those five at the moment have just got a little bit of a gap. And
It's very tight, isn't it?
It's still tight, and one of the teams, Bristol City or Watford, actually could have a real nose.
They are both wobbling a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, West Brom
wobbling as well.
But I wasn't impressed with West Brom here. I thought West Brom were very poor here.
I mean, I've seen them two or three times.
But a friend of mine went to Lower Road yesterday, and he thought that Campbell, is it Rice, whatever his name is, treble barrel name, where he's got the lad for Hull for Manchester United, was
Fraser,
whatever. They reckon he was outstanding last night. Very, very good.
Yeah, and I saw the goals, and they did look impressive. Yeah. Just bring you back briefly to Sumo. Do you think he's the sort of player who will be perhaps something of an unsung hero for Town, in as much as he does a lot of the quiet work in midfield, but he doesn't do anything truly outstanding that the fans are going to notice that much? He's going to be one of those guys. He'll be a workhorse.
I think the trouble was he was outstanding in his first couple of games with the goal, and even when he came on as substitute performances at Sheffield. That I think he looked very good. I think he's just, it's took him a bit harder to get into the game.
Yeah.
But I think he's doing an awful lot of work because, I thought Tommy Miller actually played quite well when he came on. We may have found the answer with Tommy, just, 20 minutes rather than 90. But and that makes him fresher to go out with Jim at night afterwards. But I just think we aren't very good defensively, tackling wise. Quinny doesn't really get back that much to help. Danny Haynes hasn't got a tackle in him. Owen Garvin can't head a ball defensively, and I think you really are relying on, when Norris is out injured, you've only got one real defensive midfielder. And I'm not saying just that they all should be defensive, but attacking and doing their job.
Yeah.
We've missed that really since Lewandowski went.
Well, it's just that as we're on that subject, I had this one email from Barry from Ipswich. Can Phil or anyone tell me what's happened to Lewandowski? From being player of the season, he now can't get a place on the bench. Surely at this time of season, we need all the experience we can get.
Well, I think his situation really was that he picked up that injury at Luton, which was about the end of March
last season,
and it was quite a bad injury. And he missed pre-season, and then once he got back, other players kind of got into the side, and he's never really worked his way into the team, has he? I mean, was it Burnley or someone like that?
He's had a couple of games. I thought he was an outstanding player last season. He looked probably the only Premier class player we had last year. I think this year we've got Walters, and that have kicked on. I just think that the injury was a lot more serious than we thought. He needs a run of games, which you're not going to get. And we don't need him now that we've got Sumo. Even with Norris, I think he'll play. If someone comes in defensively, I think Shuey and Miller will come in now and replace if anyone's injured and do the defensive bit. And I think Lewandowski, the rumour has that he'd already been paid off by the club, but someone said he was actually at the Charlton game watching. I think he was a good, he was a good for what we had and that injury. But I think he'll be. Is his contract up in the summer?
I
don't think he'll play another game, and we won't see much of it. And I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't play football. If he finished, I thought he's probably someone who's quite good with his money. I'd have thought.
When you have a serious injury like that at his age, I think what is he, 34 or something like that? It does take longer for players to come back.
Yeah,
I think a lot of the sports journalists in London weren't happy about him because obviously he's three of the players have now admitted they buy the Times because Lewandowski used to read it. So obviously the Sun and the Mirror won't be that happy that players aren't reading that or the Sport and Life anymore. So I think Derek Davis is safe in the Anglian, but too many copies of the Times have been seen at the training ground.
I think footballers have got an image to try and redress by reading the Times. They're always, you think of footballers, maybe this is incorrect, but you think of footballers generally as reading tabloid newspapers, don't you? But now, maybe Graham Lassau, if you remember, was a famous Guardian reader, wasn't he? Maybe he kicked off the revolution of educated football.
It's so worrying that it's Lewinsky has to read the Times that they have to take it off him. But I think
surely he reads Le Figaro or something. No, anything on the wires, Graham?
Actually, just lost the mouse. So anyway, what I can remember, we've got Coochie reckons he's fine. That's just from Coochie's hamstring. Darren Bent reckons he could sort us out. Pabs and Lee, what's the latest on Darren Bent, Phil?
Well, all I've heard about Darren Bent is, and the rumour's going for weeks now, haven't they? I mean, we've mentioned it on here, I think, about several weeks ago, there was a sort of discussion, someone saying, well, you know, there's this sort of rumour about Darren Bent coming back, and I'm like, no, nothing in that, it's ridiculous. And I think Ray mentioned it again last week, didn't he, when he was on?
It was me, actually. It was a joke at the time.
Ray mentioned it last week, I think possibly we've kind of all been setting our sights slightly low because we've been used to setting our sights low in recent years because we've had no money. And suddenly we've got all this money and there is a kind of sense of possible promotion because the division is so unpredictable and no one is consistent, showing any consistency in the division at all. And of course Bent is not playing. And what I've heard is that we've kind of approached the Spurs and Bent himself apparently is quite fancies it and coming back presumably because he wants to play a few games. I found out he's only started. I looked today. He's only started nine Premiership games this season.
I suppose the thing about Bentley is that last Thursday them getting knocked out of Europe. Obviously,
with
obviously whatever it is. I think it's seven subs you're allowed in Europe. Whether obviously there's no need for him so much. Their season's over league wise. They aren't going down. They aren't going to go up. They're already qualified for Europe.
But the stuff
by the League Cup. But the only thing is, he has actually come on the last two games as a substitute. And on Sunday, when they were very poor second half, when they sat back, once Man City then sat back, once they took the lead, Ramos, you know, is a good manager. He said, well, what we need now is the ball over the top. And Bentley is ideal for that. I mean, my personal view that Bentley is not a great Premier footballer. I know everyone loves him in Ipswich, but he's good for a team. Like, he'd be good for us if we went up, but he was good for Charlton. But a team that's going to attack, you don't think you ever had the guile to beat players. No. He's, you know, you're on the break, counter-attack, on the break and counter-attack. And maybe, though, the way of getting him is, obviously, I'd have thought that the Spurs manager has thought he's not good enough. I'm sure that Spurs don't want him. And the way you get him is if someone says, we'll take him on loan, and if we go up, we'll give you £10 million for him.
I think
that is the only way you're going to get him, because otherwise, you know, he would have gone back to Charlton.
The thing is, I mean, you know, Ramos is what I'm told is the situation is Ramos is not keen on the move because he's not got a lot of striking options. But he's got Berbatov and he's got Keane and he's got Andy Bartram, who's on loan at Lake Norrin. I don't think there's much in between, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, they haven't got a sort of Jordan Rhodes type figure that they can throw.
But I suppose they've got Lennon. They've got Lennon wide as well.
Lennon is an option, isn't it, for them? But they obviously told Defoe far too late in the transfer window to bring anybody else in, didn't they?
But they got good money for Defoe and they needed to get rid of him. I think he'll bring some players in from abroad.
Yeah.
But I think the way you get him, and that's what, if it is as good, you know, the deal is as close as it was, is possibly, Ipswich have said, you know, if we go up, we'll give you £12 million.
And so I think that might do it. Would he be the signing to take us up?
I don't know if he'd be the signing to take us up, but I think if we did go up, for the type of football we'd have to play next year, he would actually do all right for us. Because I think
it might make a difference, actually, because if you think about it, we haven't got anybody, and we haven't really had anybody for the last two seasons since he's gone who's been, who we've been able to depend on to put the ball in the net, say, 20 times a season, have we? I mean, there's been, but Alan Lee in fits and starts, fine. Even guys like Bowditch and fits and starts, they flatter to deceive more than anything. Just when the crowd seem to get behind them, then it falls flat again. Ben, you know full well, if he had there are certain chances I've seen when I've seen Town play, chances that have gone begging, that you know full well he would have put on the first time.
I think he's going to have to come and try and prove a point, which means he'll be good, he'll be up for it. And he did, and I also think he's a far better player than when he was at Ipswich. I think at Charlton he did improve, and his heading. Certainly, I think the number of headed goals he got at Charlton was quite high. I just remember them days of the playoff when we played West Ham, and you know, all when teams sat back, him and Shefty couldn't beat them, you know, and actually it was bringing Pablo on that got us something. If I think, I'm sure Jim can look at the opponents we've got, you know, if a team's going to sit back, you know, like Scunthorpe did and Sheffield United, you know, teams have here, yeah. I actually don't think Bentley's going to do you the world of good. He might do you a penalty, but I think Wolves away, for instance, who are going to have to come at us because they need the points, you know, Bentley the ball over the top, Bentley might be the ideal man. But I think Jim needs to look at the games, really, if he's looking for it to get us up. But if they're looking, hoping we're going to get up anyway or get in the playoffs, and then, you know, and obviously if you say to Tottenham, if we go up with Bayern, if we don't go up, he goes back, we've got nothing to lose, I suppose.
Yeah, the signing of Cucci on loan last week, I looked at it as being an attempt to try and compete with teams like Watford and Burnley, the sort of physical sides, that we've really done poorly again.
I think Shefky wasn't a panic. If Walters was going to stay the whole season, Shefky wouldn't have come.
No.
Walters was injured, and obviously Shefky will never play for Palace again, so I'm sure Palace were willing to let him go very quickly. Secondly, us beating teams around them is going to do Palace favours. And secondly, I don't think Palace would have been asking for a great amount of money for the wages because they just want to get him out of the out of the thing. So it was an easy option, and Shefky would come.
And perhaps Shefty Cooch's motivation may well be the same as Darren Bent's. He feels he has a point to prove that he was a great fan favourite with the faithful at Portman Road at times, a bit of a cult hero at times, because of his large size and his enthusiasm. Some games he'd put 110% in, wouldn't he?
He put 210% in his.
Played well Saturday, and the crowd was, you know, quite up, but it actually, the crowd was lifted when he did come on, you know, before the one lone sniper, Oswald, or whatever his name was, Harvey Oswald, shot him.
Alan Lee Harvey Oswald.
Now,
my thing is, Jimmy's actually at the moment trying to put together a footballing version of the Blues Brothers, you know, let's put the band back together. You know, I mean, you know, it's a ridiculously large number of former players that have signed over the last year. It's very strange. Graham.
This one came to you, didn't it? But it's written in blood, so I'm going to have to struggle to read this. This is on the Bent thing again. Does the panel consider sightings as a valuable way of preempting signings being announced? Many so-called targets have been, in quotes, spotted at the club or in Ipswich. Cases of mistaken identity or impersonations are reported on those of the day regularly. Do you find this as constructive or simply annoying? I've already received one text claiming to have spotted Benty near... That's L.A. Mullet, or La Mullet. Are they annoying, Phil?
Yes.
Are you on the website?
Well, he's an Ipswich boy, isn't he? He's bound to come home from time to time. I mean, what? Kieran Dyer appears in Ipswich from time to time. What, is he going to sign for town now?
There's a lot of obviously these very unlikely sightings of players all around the country, especially during transfer windows, the last couple of days, aren't there?
Interesting one here from Paul Atkins. Slightly off subject. In view of the reserve team easily winning the league, is the panel aware of any further moves to form a more competitive league?
Well, I know that there are. I mean, I actually saw this earlier. I printed out what was in the AGM, and I think that they're both David Sheepshanks and Jim Majorton both said that they were unhappy with the combination. I mean, the fact that we won it last week and no one else seemed to realise, because we won it so comfortably, I don't think the club kind of put anything in their match report or the papers didn't put anything. Apparently, it's all down to David Pleat, the fact that we're playing this league, because when he was involved with Spurs, I don't know if he's still involved with Spurs or not, but they complained that there were, to the Premier League, that there were too many reserve matches, which led to the exclusion of Football League clubs. But of course, it means that we're playing this ridiculous league against Grays Athletic these people. I mean, there's been hopes of a Championship Reserve League, and David Sheepshank said that there's a number of Midlands clubs that are currently happy just playing friendlies every now and then, which has kind of caused problems with forming a league. So, I mean, it is ridiculous.
I don't think much is going to come out of it. I think the Premier League will carry on with their Reserve League. To be honest, Chelsea and that have hardly fielded a strong team in that all season. They fielded a strong team once, and that was last week, I think, against Brentford when Shevchenko played, because they had an FA Youth Cup game that week. I don't think they're even taking the Premier League Reserve League seriously, some of the reserve teams, especially Arsenal, Chelsea never. And I just think Sheepshanks is full of hot wind, and if we get promoted, he'll soon forget about it, and we'll be back in the Premier Reserve League.
Which will win, I think we'll be one of the few clubs that plays
like
senior
Derby,
players.
Derby won it 4 years running or something, before we did, and both got relegated. I just think, you know, the Midland clubs are happy doing friendlies, and I think we're quite you know, at times we obviously can get friendlies.
Well, we do. We play one with Colorado Rapids.
Yeah, but obviously we also play friendlies. We go down to Spurs and play. We play Watford. And that's the way around it. I don't think they think reserve football's the great idea anymore. And obviously the loan system now.
Well, I was going to say, do you think we're actually better off sending all these players out to the Blue Square sides? I mean, we've got Tommy Smith playing at Stevenage at the moment, getting himself experience against big hulking
I think it depends on
adults rather than youngsters. Yeah, I think that's another game.
That is a good test. And I think also depends, and I think even though he wasn't a great success and played a bit of long ball football when he was with a league club, Peter Taylor's a quite good coach. So I think you've got to pick and choose the club, the type of football they're going to play, or the coach, because obviously if he's going to stay there during the week, and obviously if you go into a non-league club like Stevenage and Aldershot, which are full time,
so don't send him to John Beckett history.
Yeah, well, yeah, but you want the sort of coaching they're going to get, because that's all obviously part of it, isn't it? Still, but I think that is a test. I think Sammy Morgan of Brentford and players like, no, we haven't kept him, but to actually watch him play for Brentford, to watch
he's got Stevenage.
The lad who went to Darlington. Ian Miller took on, but obviously we've watched him play, the scouts watched him play 10 or 11 times, and that's a much better idea of if he's good enough than playing a reserve team football, because I mean, Robin Turner played 768 games in the combination.
Perhaps go further here and advocate the abolition of reserve team football? I imagine, like, you have Sunday league clubs, and I reserve side, that's because 20 or 30 lads turn up for training, they want to give as many of them games, so they fill two teams in different divisions. With professional football, you've got your senior squad of pros, then you've got someone who's trying to break in, then you've got your youth team. Obviously you've got to have your youth team, that's very important for the development of players. But maybe players who've just graduated from the youth team, who are perhaps not quite ready for the seniors yet, then they could be, as Phil said, sent out to Blue Square sites.
The youth league has changed slightly, because you can actually play some older players in the youth team now. So another reason why the Premier teams weren't that bothered about the reserve league. I think the reserve league is needed, and when you go and watch reserve football, I watch a lot of it, and people go, oh, look at him, he's not making any effort, Gavin Williams, though he played well this week. It's because the manager doesn't want him to make, he doesn't want him to run around and kill himself. He wants him, I remember watching Chris Makin play an atrocious game, you know, for the reserves, but he did what the manager wanted, you know, 90 minutes, and it was a bit of running, and it was better than training. But what you want to see is a young team running, trying to win the games. That isn't the idea of reserve football. So they would actually be quite happy. It's to give young players a bit of a game. It's a balance, and actually the results do not matter.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, it's pointless playing games where we beat MK Dons 12-1. It's just, you know, you're better off having a training session, aren't you?
You are, but I mean, great, and also I think where they're missing the option, and clubs are short-sighted, and it's not even 10 years ago they were doing it, and Norwich and Leicester still do it, because they were obviously inviting loads of kids in, especially when it was hard to get season tickets. We never really went for it, but Wednesday night football,
they were
getting 10,000 people in, you know.
But that was in an era when the big Premier League sides were fielding reserve teams.
But we never really done it anyway. Ipswich didn't really go down that line like Leicester and Norwich, and some reserve teams still do it. Yeah, they were fielding their stars, but that is what reserve football, that's what these clubs who are struggling for gates and young kids need to do, is to look to play. You know, we're all saying, oh, we can't play Stevenage because it has to be an afternoon game or something. We've got Easter Monday. You know, there's times when kids are on Easter holidays next week.
Yeah.
If you're going to play an afternoon game, play it at Portman Road.
Yeah.
Save on the floodlights, but play it at Portman Road and say kids for free. They just don't seem to me sometimes the club to look beyond the easy option.
I must admit, I've taken my godson both to reserve team games and first team games, and I started taking him sort of as a gentle introduction to reserve team football, and there were, what, 400 or 500 people there. We all sat in one stand, basically, and it was a cheap night out. It was about a fiver to get in for me, about £2 to get in for him, and it was a fun night out. You got to see a proper game of football. There were a lot of youngsters in both the reserve times who were obviously trying to impress managers. But you know, and then again, it does serve as an introduction for a lot of younger fans. I remember, funnily enough, you're talking about the clubs getting big crowds to reserve games. I think it was Sunderland when they signed Julio Arca. I think they got something in the region of 20,000-25,000 fans for a reserve game.
They don't even get it for the first team game.
Exactly.
Have we got anything more?
Well, we can move. Oh, this is quite good. You'll have to move on to Sunny Scunny now. Anyone? Actually, I'll put this to everyone. This says, "Dear Phil Graham, good show by the way." This is Julian. He's thinking of going to the Scunthorpe game at the weekend and wants to know if there's a travel lodge near the town centre. Anyone know? Oh, just offhand. Ray would normally know, wouldn't
he? It's about 28 miles from Hull.
There's a disused steelworks, I'm sure they can put him up.
Apparently, someone told me at the weekend it's the easiest ground to get to from a motorway anywhere in the country.
Oh, right.
Because apparently, is it the M18?
Yeah, because it's probably nowhere near anywhere to.
I know the food's good at the ground as well.
When was the last time we played Scunthorpe in a competitive game?
You must know this, Phil, surely. 1804.
60-61, I think.
And it was then at their old. Where did they used to play? Was it,
they played the old showground.
The old showground, that was it. Yeah.
Okay, it was the first of the new grounds, and they're about to knock it down.
Although apparently we played a friendly there, did we?
Yeah, I think we played when we bought. We bought someone off Lincoln. I think we played him in a friendly.
No, Scunthorpe.
We bought someone off him. Do we Hill off him or something?
David Hill.
Okay,
and from Simon Allardyce up there, or down there in Brazil, what do you think, my learned friends, the midfield lineup for Saturday will be? You might as well go through the whole team quickly.
Well, it won't be Norris, I don't think, will it? So, right midfield, are we thinking Danny Haynes, right midfield?
I'd have thought Danny Haynes. Quinn will start.
Yeah, Quinn will be on the left. Quinn, who I still think is probably the best signing we made in January.
Yeah, and Shumi and Garvin.
Yeah. There you go. That's it. Yeah. In goal, Bywater, left back, Cito, right back, right, Bruce and DeVos.
Bruce and DeVos, and up front. Canago and Lee to start with,
or Bent if we sign.
What's the betting on three Suffolk teams in Wembley in one season?
Is this a semi final this weekend?
I think it's a semi final this weekend. Needham, Lowestoft, and Ipswich all to make Wembley.
Well,
do you think the bookies would offer good odds on that?
Crikey.
I think we're the worst of the three teams. we're probably the ones pushing the odds out, but. And we could be beaten by Needham.
Do you think we'll make the playoffs? Nick first, you
say. Yeah, it's definitely doable. We might need to rely on results to go our way. Town being Town will make it difficult for themselves, but it is doable. I haven't given up hope yet, certainly not.
I haven't got a clue, to be honest. It really is. I think anyone can guess teams from 6th to 14th can be guessed. I think the Wolves away game and the Hull home game are the two big ones.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, we haven't got to, I mean, I know Palace said the other day when they gave us Coochie that we've got to play a lot of teams around each other, you know, in the top 10. But we're not playing that many compared to everybody else.
Wolves are on form now.
Yeah, but every week there's sort of two or three games involving that top 10.
But we're playing Scunthorpe for them. If they lose to us on Saturday, that could be it after losing last night.
Yeah.
You know, we're playing teams who are at the other end. The thing about this league is every team, other than really QPR, but they're all playing for contracts. Probably.
Yeah, but there's
only QPR not in it really, out of all of them, isn't it? 11th and 12th.
Yeah, but I mean, I think, you know, we've got to look at the teams like Colchester and Scunthorpe are teams that we should be beating. If we don't beat them, then really, you know.
I mean, Colchester is.
There's no hope for us.
The thing is, Colchester could be down by then. No worries, local derby, and you know damn well that it's going to be a...
Right, quick predictions then, everyone. For Scunthorpe, that's all we need.
3-1 away win.
3-1, Nick?
Yeah, I'll go with that.
And they're going to reopen the steelworks, especially for the day.
I think we'll win 2-0. I think it'd be a comfortable away win.
Right, that means we're going to lose then. Yeah, okay.
Comfortable away win, if anyone can remember what they are.
Yeah, okay, well, thanks everyone. Thanks, Nick. Definitely thanks for Alistair. Thanks to Phil. Yeah.
Thank you, Greg.
Thanks to Moral Majority, who apparently lives in Oz and texts on the board. I didn't know that. And he listens to the show, so hello to him, because he probably lives furthest away than anyone else. So thanks, till next week, everyone. Have a good one. Sorry, Phil, what'd you say?
There was a guy facing on the message board the other day who was incredibly remote. I forget where he said he was, but it was
even further away.
Yeah.
It was Ravenswood.
All right, till next week, have a good one, everyone. Take care, bye.